Thanks for coming up here.
See you, Jacob.
All right. What are these? These are... What are these? Do you know what these are, Levi? Bowls, yeah. They look pretty clean on the outside. So is this bowl clean? This bowl pretty clean? Yeah. Is this bowl clean?
Yeah.
No? Leo, you got it, yeah. It's oatmeal from yesterday, so it's like concrete, right? All in there. Yeah, two bowls, and they look fine on the outside, but inside, you see, there's a big difference. Now, when God looks at us, or when people look at us, we might think, oh, we look pretty good on the outside. We're here at God's house. We're maybe dressed up or combed our hair or did some stuff to try and make ourselves look, like, presentable. And we might, oh, that's good, right? But God also cares about what's on the inside. And God wants us to be perfect on the inside, but what does he often see? He sees there's sin on the inside. It's dirty on the inside. Now, with a bowl, we could just take a rag, maybe some soap and water. We could clear it out, right, and make it nice and clean. But we can't do that with our soul, and we can't clean our soul. And no amount of good things we might do would fix it. But Jesus did something, didn't he? He cleaned out our souls by shedding his blood. Where did he shed his blood? He shed his blood on the cross. So if we look back here, you look back here on the wall, what's back there? That's a cross back there. And that's where Jesus died on the cross. And his blood, we hear from Scripture, the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. And so in God's sight, we look perfect on the outside and on the inside because of Jesus. And so today we gather, and every Sunday we gather to give him thanks for that. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for us and by your blood washing us clean of our sins and making us clean in the Father's sight so that we have heaven as our home and that you walk beside us each day helping us and you love us. In your name we pray. Amen. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Who was your first boss? Who was your first boss? Some of you maybe aren't working yet. Mom and dad are still your first boss. Or some of you are retired and you're like, I don't want to think about it. But just, who was your first boss? My first boss at probably outside the house would have been at the newspaper. And Robin was his name. He came, showed up, and picked me up to go sell papers at the state fair. So drove me down there, sold papers for the morning, picked me up, and we drove back to my house to drop me off. Second day he did that, went, sold papers, came back, and he got in a verbal altercation with the West Dallas Police Department, who were directing traffic, and then he kind of peeled out and dropped me off at my house, and then Robin was no longer my boss. So, but you learn something from all your bosses. I think at Burger King I learned it's okay to throw away food. It had met the time and had to be thrown out. I'm like, it looks perfectly good. And they're like, no, I'll throw it out. Yeah, in my house growing up, you didn't throw out much food, right? So, but this is a good thing. This is a good thing. This is okay. At the golf course, grounds crew learned, that the finished product matters. You want things to look nice. But also that it doesn't have to be exactly perfect so that you don't get the rest of your jobs done. You've got to order your time at work so that you get everything done. So I learned that. Driving Zamboni, my boss showed me how important it was to take great care with very expensive equipment. And the factories I worked in learned about quotas and efficiency and also workplace safety. You learn something from all your different bosses. And today, as David writes Psalm 24, we see that out of all the bosses we have, the best boss, the most important boss, the ultimate boss is our owner and boss, the Lord God. The Lord God is our owner and boss. That makes a difference in my management of me, and he redeemed me to be his saved steward in all I do. Hear now the words of Psalm 24. Of David, a psalm. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. This is God's word. What have we been teaching in our Lutheran elementary school this last week or two, in the Sunday school which started last week, or Wednesday school on Wednesday nights, or confirmation class? We start out with creation, that God created the world in 6 days, miraculously, by simply using his voice, calling it into being. Amazing miracle. And then also the application that that means we belong to him. Yes, we also talk about the fall into sin, why mankind is such a mess, why we're sinners, conceived and born in sin, because our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell into sin. And that means that we go through a lot of difficulties in this life. And by nature, we're blinded to this reality that we belong to the Lord. But God in his grace reveals it to us by his word, the Spirit working through word and sacrament, that even though we lost the image of God, his righteousness and holiness, he restores it to us by the Spirit working through word and sacrament. You belong to the Lord. He's your owner and boss. And that makes a difference in my management of me, in your management of you. And how are we doing with that? David asks the question, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. And at first glance in the mirror, we might say our hands are pretty clean. I mean, we look pretty good. You guys look good right now. I mean, we're here at God's house. That says something. You know, we got prepared to be here. You know, to the world, we look pretty good, generally, to most people. And if we're comparing ourselves to others, you know, we could say we could find a lot of people that we look much better than. But the thing is, what about the pure heart part? Do you have a pure heart? And we realize, okay, this goes deeper. We don't just compare ourselves to people around us. We compare ourselves to our holy God and his standard. He wants clean hands and a pure heart. And especially as we look inside, do we hold up our hands to an idol and hope in that rather than the Lord? Trust in that rather than the Lord? And at first glance, we'd say, no. Well, I don't think so. But then we realize we're not just talking about something on a mantle or in a different country, or we're talking about our hearts. And who do we give real estate to in our hearts? One of the greatest idols that we struggle with at this time and place in history and in this country and in this community is greed, materialism, the love of money, the love of things, and placing our hope in those things. Why do you think the advertising business has just catapulted and expanded so enormously over the last 40, 50 years? To dominate that everything we touch really has an advertisement towards us. It's because our hearts, sadly, have made a lot of room in pushing God to the side. How do you think about security? When do you feel secure? Isn't it oftentimes, maybe you've had the same feeling, but when you have enough money in the bank account or in the retirement account, then you feel good about where you're at, and you feel like, okay, you know, now I can feel secure. What about the promises of God, that whether I have everything or nothing, that doesn't matter because God has promised to take care of me? But that we don't think of as much. We look at the money and we go, if that's there, then I feel secure. Well, that's that, you know, we look in the mirror and we go, there's something wrong there. Or we think about, when will I be happy or content, or be okay? And, you know, we're always looking like, oh, if I get this thing, or if I get this job, if I get this home, if I get this relationship, if I get this cabin, camper, if I get this, you know, more money, or whatever it might, the thing might be, whether it's a toy, whether it's a Tonka truck, or an F-150. And in many of these things, the things themselves aren't wrong or bad to have, but it's where our heart goes that we'll only be happy if we have these things. Or I won't really feel contented or complete or fulfilled or like I've made it unless I have these things. What happens when they all get taken away? Do we sit and blame God and be angry and sad? like a kid whose toy has been taken away from them and life just isn't right? We look and we say, yeah, there's some issues here. There's some issues in our heart. Like maybe there's an easy chair for the love of money and materialism and what we're willing to sacrifice to get these things. You know, if we think that, you know what, where's our heart gone when we don't spend time in God's word or God's house, and that becomes second on the list, third on the list, or maybe if we have time, or maybe not at all. What has happened to our hearts? That this isn't important to be here or to hear from our Savior. Maybe we need an AED or a defibrillator to just kind of shock us back into reality. Or we think that, you know what, it's so important for me or my child to have, you know, this good education, or to have this opportunity in sports, or to have this fun opportunity, and then, you know, life will be good. Then they'll be well-rounded. Then all these things will come true. Or then I'll get what I need or be in a good place. And we value those things higher than our time in God's word as an individual or as a family and time in God's house. And we think we're in danger of spiritual neglect of our own soul or the souls of our children. We start to realize these are things we've done. These are ways we've fallen short. You ever at work, you know, after you've worked a place a little bit, you kind of learn the tricks, kind of learn the gaps, you know, where you learn when the boss kind of goes out to check on the other areas, and then everybody kind of like just slacks off a little bit. You just get a little bit lazier, a little bit more lax. The conversations with coworkers aren't just about the job at hand. They start to extend and go longer and longer. Pretty soon, more come in. And does this ever happen to you? I know it's happened to me because you know why I know? Because when the boss unexpectedly comes by or comes into the room, all of a sudden everybody stands up and you quick look like you're doing something and busy. And then, you know, other people who have no business being there, they quick get out and they go to other places and they kind of hope they dodge whatever's coming. And you wonder, is the boss gonna write me up? Is the boss gonna fire me? You know, when he catches me doing these things? And then we think of our relationship to God and that he's our owner and boss, and how have we treated him? Have we made room for idols in our hearts? And we realize, yes, we have. And we deserve, I know I deserve, not only to be fired, but be thrown into the fire of hell. And David asked this question, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? And we have to say, I can't ascend the mountain of the Lord. I don't deserve to stand in his holy place. I have unclean hands and an unclean heart. And David must have felt the same way. David must have known this. You know the life of David. He knew something about his God. When I was working on the grounds crew at the golf course, it wasn't my first year working there. It was getting to be the end of the day, and we were finishing up a job, and we had one of those golf carts with kind of like no top to it. It's kind of like a work cart with the bed on the back, and then you're driving around, and my little brother was in the cart with me, and we're finishing up a job. We had like four plywood sheets on the back we were kind of holding with an arm and driving, and we were making our way back to the shop. It was going to be the end of the day, and at that point in my life, I was invincible, or maybe I just thought I was invincible, and thought that, you know, I could burn the candle on both ends, and there I was at the end of the work day, and just thought I'd close my eyes for a moment while I was driving and, you know, unconsciously just kind of close my eyes and didn't open them again, you know, fell asleep, which would just seem like a moment but was not just a moment. And my brother was turned around trying to make sure that the plywood sheets didn't move as I opened my eyes as a tree is right in front of me and just hit it straight on. My brother flew out of the cart, hit the tree, and bounced off. And then I, because the plywood sheets were on the back, surged forward, bending the seats forward. My torso bent the steering wheel and the steering column into the passenger seat. The shock, the adrenaline, wondering if I'm okay, wondering if I've just killed my little brother, jump out or stumble out of the cart, go and check on him, and as he's moaning, but help pick him up, And then we turn around and look at the cart. This is not going to go well. Tried to push seats back, things back into place, but metal doesn't bend that well. And finally had to push the cart. We get onto the service road. Meanwhile, all our coworkers are coming by and going past us. And they're reporting to our boss what had happened. And that I totally, the front end was done. And we finally push it all the way in. And my boss was standing outside, angry, as you could imagine, saying things. I just thought, I'm done. This is my last day. You know, am I going to have to pay for this? You know, I don't have a lot of money to begin with, but I wrecked it. And I get down there, and he was mad. He had questions. He was angry. But you know what he did? He didn't fire me. He didn't even take it out of my pay. The shop, the golf course, covered the cost of rebuilding this work vehicle. And I got to show up the next day for work. When our shop mechanic took off the front end and threw it in the dumpster, I asked if I could have it, which was weird, but I took it home and I put it in the corner of our yard by the wood pile and by the part, you know, the clay part of the ground that nothing grew on, and it just sat there for the rest of the summer. And every once in a while I would see it regularly, and I would be reminded that my boss had mercy on me and that I still had a job and that I was okay. You and I come here each week to be reminded, don't we? To have our sights refocused as we look at the back of our house here. And we see a cross. And we hear three things. God has had mercy on you. You have a job to do. And you're okay with Him. You see, we had wrecked so many things in our life. So many gifts that God had given, misused, so many idols in our hearts, and even destroyed not only the things in this life, but even ourselves at times. And God didn't fire us. God didn't throw us in the fire. And He didn't charge it to your account or my account. He charged it to His Son's account. Jesus took on flesh for you and me. He lived a perfect life with clean hands and a pure heart, always following His God perfectly, always keeping Him first in His life, not letting the idols that trip us up touch Him at all. And then He took our debt and He covered the cost so you and I have God's mercy and forgiveness. You and I have a job with Him, and you and I are okay. The Lord God is our owner and boss, and that matters in my management of me and your management of you. And He redeemed us to be saved stewards in all we do. To have that mindset, to understand His mercy and love for us, to understand what great things He has set us apart to do and how to live for Him in everything we do. And what a blessing it is. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. We aren't spoiled or forgetful. We look and we see and we're reminded. And what a blessing it is to work for Him. Who is your favorite boss? Who was your favorite boss? You know what I found looking back? It really didn't matter if the job was really difficult or really easy or if it was all over the place. Your boss mattered a lot. How they treated you. If they treated you with respect, if they kind of treated you like an equal, if they were in the job with you together, if they not just valued the work you did but valued you and were concerned about you, that made all the difference, didn't it? And then if they forgave your slip-ups and your mess-ups, and you still had a job, you wanted to work harder for that person. You wanted to be, you were about the mission. You were there, and if the work got hard, you knew they were right there with you, and you worked hard at it to get the job done. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what better boss is there than our Lord God, our Savior? And so we live for Him with the time He gives us. there's lots of things calling for your time, and not they're not all bad things. A lot of them are good things, but we prioritize Him. Our time in His Word, our time in His house, hearing His Word, receiving His sacraments. Yeah, that might make changes in our lives to prioritize that, but it's worth it because of who we work for and who we belong to. Our time, our talents and abilities, all the different gifts God has given to us, we go at whatever we're doing, whatever vocation that God has allowed us to be in or called us to, whatever place in life we're at, we go at it and we work at it with all our hearts. Committing everything to Him in prayer, making our best effort to live for Him, to witness for Him in the things we do and the words we speak and how we speak. And the impact is great because not just does God bless us through this, but we become a blessing to so many others. And with the treasures God pours out into our hearts, how do we use them? We see ourselves as stewards, as managers of all that God has given to us, of all the riches He's given to us. And we set aside, not as the leftovers, but as the first fruits, a portion of what God has given us to give to Him. Joyfully, thankfully, something we do from the heart. And we set it aside for His glory, for His work in His kingdom, for His workers that serve us, and for mission work, and all these different things we do it for. We're willing to share. And we try to be good stewards of all the different things that God has given us responsibility for. Why? Because He reminds us. He had mercy on us. We're forgiven. We have heaven as our home. We still have a job we get to do for Him. And we're okay. The Lord God is our boss, and there's no better. In Jesus' name, amen. Please. For our stewardship thought today, we think about being stewards, being managers of all that God has given to us. And when it comes to our finances, it doesn't always come naturally to us. There are a lot of temptations out there, a lot of idols that would like to grab our attention. How do we be good stewards? We follow God's word, the direction He gives to us. We learn, we ask other godly people who we see putting good things into practice. But also, we have opportunity here at St. Paul's every so often. We go through a financial management course, not a long course, but one that talks about kind of faith-focused finances. We do it two ways. A few years ago, we did a heart and focus, a faith-focused financial course. We offer on Monday nights at 6 o'clock. This year, we're going through Financial Peace University. It takes a look at how we view the gift of God's, the money God gives us, and also how we can be good stewards of that. Consider signing up for that. That's on Monday nights at 6 p.m. right here at church and right in the library. We'd love to have you. Consider it. There's more information on the info desk. And as we continue to be prayerful and considerate stewards of all that God has given to us.